Hello, ODAC fans, and welcome to a new season of the ODAC Podcast. My name is JJ Nekoloff. I'm the Associate Commissioner with the ODAC, and as always, joined by the Commissioner, Brad Bankston. Brad, how are you doing today?
Doing great, JJ. Glad to be back at it and excited for a 25-26 academic year that's got a lot of interesting bells and whistles on it from the ODAC standpoint.
There are a lot of things happening. You're right. Three cheers to 50 years for the ODAC, and I think that might be the name of this podcast when I go ahead and put it out there on the web. We're recording this on Thursday, the 14th of August, and it's the 50th year coming into it here for the ODAC. Began in 1976-77, and this being 25-26 is the 50th operating year of the league, so we'll have a lot of features going through for that, a lot of nostalgia coming back in. But one of the big pieces that we have coming into this is the first ever ODAC Hall of Fame coming out. And I think, you know, just with you and I talking and being able to talk to some other people and talking with the athletic communications and sports information directors who kind of spearheaded this project, the nostalgia, the remembrances of performances and coaching outings and records of past and administrators that had a big impact on not just this league, but on their schools as well. I mean, it's been a really cool project for me to put together as for me personally, I go into my 20th year with the conference.
Yeah, it's, you know, some of those names that are on the list that people have a chance to see when we release this, I guess on Friday the 15th, you know, some real throwbacks, obviously some people, obscure names, maybe some people didn't know, and certainly those that have followed the league over the course of the last 50, 40, 30 years, there'll be some names on there that people will recognize and certainly have gone on to do some really cool things, not only in the world of sports, but in the world of life, you know, from a professional standpoint. So I'm really excited about the opportunity that we have as a conference to not only highlight their achievements when they were at their institution, either as a student athlete, administrator, a coach, whatever their role was within the ODAC, but really talking about kind of a where are they now too. I think we're going to be fascinated with some of those stories. As you've said, you know, when we've had side conversations, some of them aren't with us anymore. Regretful that we weren't able to do this or that we didn't do this while they were here with us. Obviously, Dan Woldridge being the founding commissioner of the ODAC is the first person I think of when we talk about that. But, you know, it's still a nice opportunity for us to be have the chance to honor Dan and Marge Berkeley and Doc Jobson, which are the three people that we'll be putting in from the ODAC. And that's, I guess, a secret busting kind of naming here. But, you know, hey, there are three people that we have a foundation built by Dan and our All Sports Trophy Award named after him. And then our two top, in my opinion, probably the two top awards we give in the league, the Doc Jobson Award and the Marge Berkeley Award, that go to our top scholar athletes on the male and female side, male sports and female sports. So, you know, really excited about it and so thankful for the committee of sports communication group, our athletics communication staff, that spent time on this, and I singled them out at our SID meeting on Monday, and I'll do it again. And Phil Stanton and Richie Wagner for, I guess, a labor of love, I would say. And, you know, a lot of people have asked me, you know, why did it take you so long to do this? And I think more than anything else for me, it was trying to find someone, somebodies within the league that had the vision and wanted to see it through and wanted to kind of adopt something as a project. And we're all in with them. And I think it's going to end up being a really cool thing moving forward. So excited for people to see the release tomorrow.
Yeah. And no worries about you peeling back the curtain there on that one. Cause if you didn't do it, I was going to do it, because I think one of my favorite stories that I've learned through going through this is with Dan Woldridge and Marge Berkeley, that in 1952, Marge Berkeley was one of the professors for Dan Woldridge at Lynchburg College, then Lynchburg College. And then several years later, Marge Berkeley becomes the first ODAC associate commissioner underneath Dan. So it's like the master becomes the student, if you will, or, you know, we can go Jedi and Padawan, if you will, if we want to go Star Wars world. But it kicked off a, you know, a 65-year relationship the two of them had before Marge passed in 2017. Dan passing just last year, that sort of thing, in 2024. but it was, it's stories like that, some of the cool stories that we've got coming across. So, you know, we just gave you three of the names there of ODAC fans, and there's 47 more coming in as we have 50 inaugural inductees for the 50th year of the league here coming through. And just to kind of give you an idea of how this was built, this first class and then next year's second class will be direct selection by each of the schools. And it's the charter members and full-time members of the conference this year, minus Shenandoah and Averett, just given that they haven't been in the ODAC as long as some of the other ones. But Shenandoah will be in the mix starting next year. Averett's going to get a few more years underneath its belt before they come in, at least 10, given that that's our criteria for at least student athletes that have graduated and moved on, that they need to be 10 years out before they come in. But then starting in year three, we'll go to a nomination and voting process that will have a full committee that'll be set up and look at all these ODAC stars. And there are going to be so many over time. And I know the initial reaction is, you know, who got snubbed, who didn't get in, and this and that. And it's like, we've got to pump the brakes on a lot of that, because we're talking about 50 years and we're looking at that and trying to find ways to make sure we recognize the past without forgetting the future, and then don't lose that middle ground in between there. So that's why we're doing it the way we're doing it, to start off these first 2 years by giving the schools the opportunity to have direct representation. It helps out with a lot of things with it. Make sure we're representative of most of sports, if not all the sports. Like, I think I did a cursory count that, you know, if you take out the indoor and outdoor track and field, we just have a track and field remembrance inside of there, or listing inside of there. And then wrestling, returning back to the ODAC, and men's volleyball are just too new. So that leaves 22 eligible sports. And I think we've got 20 of them represented here with this first class. So really cool. We're about half and half men's sports and women's sports representation. So I think it's a really cool piece here. And I'd say stay tuned for future years. If you go and have a look at the Hall of Fame and don't quite see the person you thought you would see there yet, I'm like, just hold the phone and pump the brakes a little bit, because they may be there next year, or maybe a little bit down the road, because, you know, we call this one of the best conferences, if not the best conference in Division III, for a reason. And that's because we've had some really good people over the course of time, you know, either administrators or coaches or student athletes, or somebody like, you know, one of our honorees coming through. I don't want to peel that curtain back just yet, but, you know, that was a all-time all-ODACer and also an administrator and a coach. So it's somebody who's going to hit all three of the categories. So really cool project, and we think it's going to be a great linchpin throughout the year. And we've got ideas on how to do some of the content coming up, Brad.
Yeah, you know, I think we want to make sure that we touch on every school's honorees. Again, some of them deceased, some of them still with us and have stories to tell, and those that aren't with us have stories to tell too. So we're going to find a way to make sure we do that. We're also going to find a way to honor them. I guess the initial conversations that we've had is to create a space on their own campus for them to be recognized if they're back, have us honor them in front of their hometown fans, those that may know them. If it's an alumni weekend, if it's a special weekend for a specific sport, we'll do that. And then we'll also offer the opportunity to have a reception at our basketball tournament for those that want to return. Again, you've got people spread out all over the country. You know, I just looked at a smattering of individuals and their locations, because we're collecting those email addresses and physical addresses so we can send letters to them. You know, we've got people all the way from California to Virginia Beach to Buffalo and into the southern Gulf Coast. So, you know, we're all over the country now. And I'm just really excited to kind of rekindle some of these conversations with people that I haven't seen or heard from in many, many years. And as you said, I'll say this. I hope there are people that are upset that somebody's not on the list, because that means somebody cares about it enough. Absolutely. to have an energy to want to see somebody on it. I think there are clearly people that should be on it that aren't, but they're going to get there. And we couldn't do it all in 1 year. And kudos to the institutions for making the choices that they did and putting us in a position, as you said, to have what I believe to be an unbelievable, equitable number of men's and women's honorees that are with us in this group. So again, super excited for the release and looking forward to all the cool things that come out of the conversations that we have with people throughout the year.
Well, and I think it's, you know, when we talk about the 50th years, kind of segueing out specifically out of the Hall of Fame, but we'll find some different ways to, you know, recognize what happens over the course of time in 50 years of the ODAC with, you know, maybe talking to some friends of the program or friends of the league here on this channel. We've got lots of people. When you think about all the national championships we've hosted over the years, we can talk a lot of different things in there, but we could just do some snippets and looking at some things. Like, I'm going to put you on the spot here right now and ask you, what do you think in 1976 was the highest grossing movie that was out there?
Man, I think it's got to be close. Star Wars was right around that time. Maybe Star Wars was 77 or 78, but I'm going to say Close Encounters of the Third Kind, I'll go for in 76.
Okay, well, 1976 is, according to CBS News, pulling in $117.2 million domestically was Rocky.
Rocky, nice. I didn't know Rocky was that.
Movie. So yeah. A sports movie, I mean, people call it a love story or a motivational story or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to call it a sports movie because even though it was phantom punches and whatnot, it's still getting out there. Apollo Creed, it's boxing. So sports movie is pretty apropos for us here. So we like that. Looking into
it. I remember going to see Star Wars in the theater. So it, I'm guessing that was 77.
Yep. I think you're right on that one. And really, Rocky holds a different place in my heart because I think that was my parents' first date as they went out to see Rocky in 1976. That would have probably been at, they went to Valparaiso University, so it probably would have been in Valparaiso, Indiana at the time. So
there we go.
So that would have been some interesting things. So right there, we've got associative content that we can talk about with, you know, 50 years of the ODAC and get to movies and get to my parents' first date. So how about that? I hope people have as much fun with it, reminiscing about it. I hope we keep, you know, some of the negativity and things like that. It can come down with people not seeing who they want to see in, say, the Hall of Fame and whatnot. But it's all about a celebration. It's all about what we've been able to do here over the course of time. I mean, I've only been here for 20 of the 50 years. There's a lot of time that's gone past through it. And it really has been a great group of student athletes collectively, coaches collectively, and administrators collectively that have helped grow this into one of the best, if not the best, conference in Division III. So we look forward to bringing you a lot of that content this year. If anybody has ideas on things they want to hear, sure, feel free. Fire us an email. Fire us some messages on social media when they come across about certain things that you think from a historical perspective would have some traction and that you have some interest in wanting to see.
I do want to make sure that I call out the fact that Close Encounters was in 77. So Okay. Somehow I'm not, I think I was 6 in 76. I was 7 in 77. So seven must have been some, you know, seminal moment in me to be able to remember these things. But
we're going to have to have some flexibility with this because obviously with academic years, we're talking about the 76, 77 year. So I'm going to give you at least partial credit there for that one. It's not because I'm not sure
it was on the top number listing of the year, but we'll dredge that up again later for another podcast.
And it's all good. And I just did a search for 1976 top movie. So either way, we're good there. So if I'd have looked up 77, maybe you're right on that one there. So partial credit.
I don't know. We'll
just
find
because
out.
I created the game and looking for 76, you only get partial credit, man. So it is what it is.
That's all right. Sounds good.
We slide into some other things here we're talking about as we get into not just with the celebratory things that we have coming around with the Hall of Fame in the 50 years, but a brand new season. I mean, 25-26 coming off a really, we say this every year, but a banner 24-25 campaign with some really good showings from a national championship in men's golf with Eddie Cofferman there winning that one to some deep runs in other NCAA tournaments to, you know, just some outstanding things we saw over the past year and really some teams, you know, making some comeuppance, if you will, up the standings. Some of the teams that we use as schools we expect to be in certain places maintain there. I mean, Washington and Lee, we've come to expect them to win the Commissioner's Cup. So not only did they do that, but they set a record in the Women's Commissioner's Cup in winning that one with missing, I think, just 3 points over the course of the year. Because we do a points earned over points eligible type of thing. And when you only miss 3 points over the course of a year, that's really, really impressive. So looking forward to some great things here, obviously coming up with the start of play here at the end of the month. August 29th is when all teams will be able to start competing in official Division III capacity. And that's according to Division III rule. Next year, if you're curious, the 26-27 year, they can't start until September 1, and that's really the date for everything. But according to NCAA rule, if December 1 falls on a Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, you can play the preceding Friday. So that's why they get to start on the 29th this year. But in 26-27, September 1 is on a Tuesday, so that's when they start. But either way, yeah, we're looking forward to it. We've got increases in the football standings, if you will, with Gallaudet coming in and Roanoke coming in. But we did decrease Ferrum in every sport, with Ferrum moving to Division II. So a little bit of changes in the ranks. And for those of you curious, that also will change the calculations for the Commissioner's Cup this year. So never know what those points will look at as we get into a new season with new recruiting classes and those that were already there having growth, maybe players returning from injury that are coming back that are going to have a big impact, or somebody having a hardship waiver they got to stay on and gets to be on a really cool team coming forward here now and another chance of going for an ODAC title. So, Brad, I don't know about you, but I'm excited to get some games started, because we've been doing a lot of this behind-the-scenes work, getting ready for a new season, and I'm ready for some actual stuff on the field and in the courts.
Yeah, well, don't be careful what you wish for. It's going to be here before you know it. We'll be ready to go here at the end of the month. And, you know, one of the other things we've been working on for quite some time is this partnership that the conference has with Flow Sports, and you know, the opportunity that's going to provide for our student athletes, not only to have hopefully enhanced broadcasts as we move through the process. This is a 5-year agreement that the conference has signed with Flow, and we're super happy to have them as a partner. We're joining 8 other conferences within Division III that are currently partnering with Flow to move in this direction. But, you know, the long-term goal of this is to be able to give our student athletes a greater platform to for observation, for people to be able to watch and learn a little bit more about Division III. I think the scope of what Flow offers provides us that opportunity with, you know, a one-stop shop with college sports from Division I's, II, and III levels. So pretty cool thing. If you've had an opportunity to join up to this point and have a chance to see it, once things get up and running at the end of August, I mean, there's a smorgasbord of college sports available to you at the touch of a button. And an opportunity for you to watch. So my hope, JJ, and our situation is that it does exactly what we hoped, and I believe it will. I know that we'll have some hiccups along the way. We'll have some technical glitches that occur currently now with the way that we're doing it, but certainly with a new environment for our sports communications and our institutions to be working with. But in the long run, I believe it's going to be a great move for us. I'm so appreciative of the athletic directors and the presidents being supportive of what we're doing, and look forward to seeing, you know, how this lets the conference continue to grow and highlight our student athletes, not only their accomplishments, but our institution's role and athletics role in the educational mission of our students. And I'm excited to be partnering with them, and I know you are as well. And it's been a lot of change agents for us over the course of the last couple of months since we made the agreement first part of July, and thankful for all of our institutions, one, to be in the fray and not only investing their time in the off season in the summer, which sometimes is a little bit time to recharge, but working on establishing that framework and foundation it's going to take to be successful in this. And I believe we're there. So again, won't be without mistakes, I'm sure. But I know that we're doing everything we can on the front end to be prepared for that. So that's another big change for us, and interesting that it happens in the 50th year, but it's just coincidence that it took place this year. But it's something we've been talking about for quite some time.
Yeah, no, and I am excited about it from the reasons that you said and a couple other ones here. That's, you know, it puts value on what we've been doing here. It's a little bit of a different take on it. And obviously there's, you know, some pieces to it that just makes sense. The marketing arm of Flow is really going to help out, push things across, going on all their social media accounts and coming through. And really those that subscribe in, you get access to everything on the Flow platform, not just the ODAC, but everybody that the ODAC will compete with or at the other levels that you might want to go ahead and see. You get the full breadth of the network there. But I think the value piece, the ability to help generate some glow-up opportunities for what our people are doing to increase cameras to these places, bring in some audio that some places don't have, improve the quality of what we got, which I think you alluded to and have mentioned, and we mentioned on Monday with the athletic communicators, that you know, I'll reiterate here, has been really good for the last little bit of time. I mean, ever since 18 years ago when I was driving around to each of the campus schools with a desktop computer and an old video card to plug stuff in and work directly with the IT department
in these
schools. I mean, they had never envisioned that they would be able to stream on campus like that. And we showed them early on that they were able to do it. And I remember those old 4x3 windows we had on places that were, you know, hard to see. We would look at that now and be like, oh my gosh, what are we looking at?
Technology's amazing.
Oh, I know. We've come a long way and it's going to continue to drive a long way. And this is going to help kind of move that needle a little bit further as we go throughout the course of the contract with Flow and take advantage of what they've got on. We may in the future, as we start to look at, you know, the programming pieces to this, bring on some of the individuals that help us get this together with the Flow contract. Bring them in, have those discussions, talk about some of the things, look at the questions that come across. We have those Hall of Fame features that we'll talk to you about. We'll still look at things like Players of the Week and the All Conference awards that come out eventually during the year. We'll touch on the preseason polls as we get moving on through the year. I would expect those to, or not through the year, but I should say through the preseason here. Expect the preseason polls to start next week, and that would be Wednesday, August 20th. The first of the preseason polls will come out. I don't remember exact schedule I built with the athletic communicators, but it's either football or field hockey that will come out on that day and move some things around a little bit as we have some of those national polls that are coming out. And we want to try to let those national polls come out first before we do the ODAC polls. But sometimes it just doesn't work that way. And we've got to get them done because I want to have them all done, set and ready to go by the time we start play on the 29th. So expect a lot of that good information, too, and expect us to come on maybe with a podcast on Thursday the 28th, the day before we start playing, give you kind of our insights onto what we see with those preseason polls, what we're seeing from preseason conversations we have with the coaches and administrators, and really maybe not peel back the curtain a little bit, but give you some of our thoughts on what we expect to see in the fall season coming up here.
Yeah, and again, one of the things going back to the Flow piece as we kind of get into the season, I think there are two pieces of the Flow equation that the average person probably doesn't know was part of the agreement is that, you know, we looked at this as an opportunity to augment kind of the normal presentation that our student athletes or our sports information directors present for our student athletes' accomplishments and team accomplishments. And Flow's actually offering the opportunity for us to have, you know, more engagement, as you said, on their platform through their social engagement, also through production. So it's that augmentation of the storytelling that we hope we do see more of that. If we have a great story on campus, you know, we're going to present that to Flow and hopefully see them kind of run with it, have a feature that they share on their platform. They're talking about doing not only documentary, I think, type pieces in the long run, but, you know, kind of a what's going on in collegiate sports kind of idea show on their end, which, you know, whether that comes to fruition in the future, I don't know. But those are things that we've talked about. Obviously, they have access to our footage and can tell those stories. And I think the other piece is that we're dealing with people that are professionals in this space. And no offense to you 18 years ago when you were carrying that computer around from one place to the other, right? Yep. These people do productions on a professional basis, on a regular basis. And at our fingertips now, we have resources and our institutions have resources that they've never had. And I hope that this translates into production assistance. I feel like I could pick up the phone today, call our contacts there, two or three contacts that we're dealing with primarily at Flow, ask them about, you know, troubleshooting doing our cross country championship this fall. You know, we need to think through this and do a better job with what we're doing with our cross country championship. They're going to have 5 suggestions for us. Same thing for our swimming championship, same thing for our basketball, same thing for our baseball. So, you know, it's not going to be an overnight thing, but it's going to be something that I think people see evolve and mature over the length of the contract to where we're continuing to grow the production standards of what not only what we're providing when we do a championship, which I think they'll be more than willing to lean in on, but what do our institutions need? What's at their disposal? What do they not have? What knowledge can they glean from them to be able to make this a better product? And I firmly believe that's the case. And I know that it will be. And I'm looking forward to hopping on that train and heading to that destination, wherever it is.
Absolutely. Looking forward to all that as well. Looking forward to see what our people are able to do with the platform moving on. And ultimately, looking forward to just getting some action out there in our athletic arenas as we go ahead and move forth. So we'll take a look at some of the things with the preseason polls in 2 weeks as we come to you for the day before competition there on Thursday the 28th. For Brad Bankston, I'm JJ Nekloff. This is the ODEC Podcast.